Well, Mark doesn't waste any time, does he? There's no easing into the ministry of Jesus with Mark. There's no Gabriel appearing to the young maiden with incredible news. No baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. No mother of God treasuring up all these things and pondering them in her heart. No, of all the gospel writers, Mark is the least sentimental. He jumps right in at breakneck speed with this wild-eyed, camel-haired, locust-eating, honey-drinking, bug-breathed baptizer named John. And the message that he brings is just as pressing. Not a moment to waste. Time is here. Get ready. Act now. But this isn't some peddler of late-night QVC merchandise. John's message is urgent precisely because it has to do with your sinful heart, the eternity that awaits you. Prepare the way. Make straight the way of the Lord. Raise up the low places and level out the high ones. A grand and cosmic overhaul must take place, and soon, for the King, indeed the Lord himself, and this is the beginning of the gospel, the good news. Three times in the first 15 verses of this book of Mark, Mark speaks about the gospel that both John and Jesus bring, the good news of repentance and faith in the Lord, the good news that God is about to act in a way that he's never acted. Of course, even though God will act in a new way, that doesn't mean that it's a surprising way, at least not fully. I mean, after all, we heard this morning that Isaiah promised that Yahweh would come. Prepare the way for Yahweh. And even though Yahweh is about to act in a new way, it is still the same and unchanging promises that he brings. The promise of righteousness. The promise of sin overturned, the promise of suffering gone, the promise of death swallowed up. But to do all of that, something new will happen. All of those promises of old will be wrapped up in flesh and like a gift given to the world. New flesh. Infant flesh. God's. Call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And you see, it's that last part, the saving people from their sins part, that's the bit that Mark wants to get to. So he skips right over Christmas like a gospel-writing Grinch so that he can urgently proclaim the good news. And that good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, only barely begins at his birth. So the rubber hits the road when Jesus comes with his own preparatory message of repent, for the reign of heaven stands near. The work of salvation is begun when Christ, the one who needs no repentance, stands in the waters of the Jordan and receives a sinner's baptism. The new work of salvation happens when the Spirit descends upon Christ, and at his presence then, demons flee. And lame dance, and the blind see, and yes, even wretched and damnable sinners are forgiven when that flesh is nailed to a tree, bearing the sin of the whole world. You see, all of the promises of old, they were types and shadows, and now they've given way to the reality that is Christ, to whom they were all pointing all along. See, that's the good news that ushers forth from the bug-breathed baptizer, who later declares, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." That is the good news that comes to you even today. The Lord Jesus is coming, indeed comes to you and for you, and that good news can never be too urgent, because we live in a world filled with bad news. I mean, another trip to the doctor, with it a little more anxiety, right? Because let's face it, no matter how healthy we are throughout our lives, eventually there will be bad news from the doctor. This holiday season, for many, is a time of joy and happiness, but for many others, it's not. All of the commercials and specials depicting happy families simply remind them that their own is broken, that their relationships are stressed. All of the music and the greeting cards and the Christmas cheer declaring that this is the happiest season of all can actually imprison people into the positive, as if it's not okay to be sad in the month of December. But the reality is that many are. Because they're thinking of the Christmas when mom died, or the time when dad lost his temper on Christmas Day, and the two haven't spoken since, and some other unpleasant experiences that happened during the holidays. And the radio and the greeting cards just ask them to put a smile on and have a cup of cheer. Not to mention all the sickness, all the death, all the suffering, all the war and the unrest all over the world. Yes, we live in a place filled with bad news. And I suppose the worst news of all is that it's all our own fault. Maybe not explicitly, but when you boil it down, all of the bad news in the world circles back to human sin. Which is why any time that we hear or see bad news, whatever it is, our first reaction should be repentance. Not indignation, but recognition that whatever that bad news is, the thing that caused it dwells within me. And so all the bad news in the world isn't something that happens to us. It's something that bubbles up from within us because we are all sinful. And that sin, your sin and mine, it wreaks havoc on the world. And if that problem is going to be fixed, it's not going to be you or me who will fix it. No, only God can do that. God must act. God must come. And the good news, in a world filled with bad news, the good news is, oh, does he ever come? Christ comes in a manger. He steps down from his glorious throne and he enters the bad news of this world by donning your frail human flesh as a weak and helpless infant. Christ comes on a cross where he takes his throne and he dons his crown, but it doesn't look at all royal. That same soft infant flesh is crucified for you. And man, did that look like bad news. God died that day. But 3 days later, that Friday that was filled with bad news is transformed into good news because Christ rises again in glory. But wait, there's more. Christ not only has come as an infant and on the cross, but Christ will come again. And on that day, there will be no bad news, at least for you are in Christ. On that day, your sin and your suffering and your tears and your death will be nowhere to be found. Everything will be just as it should be. Peace will abound between God and among people. In the meantime, not surprisingly, Christ comes, even today, even for you. In the promise-laced waters of baptism, which rushed over your face and still do to this very day wash over you with the promises of God, in a word of absolution spoken into your eardrums and over your heart, that same flesh which was pierced, that same blood which was poured out will be placed into your mouth to work his old forgiveness new again for you today. So come. The time is now. The time for Christ. Father and the Son.